when I turn away from sin and I no longer live that way, now I'm turning toward God. That's what it means to repent. It's not just a, oh, I'm sorry, God. It's not just, oh, sorry, God, screwed that one up. I'll try better next time. No, it's actual lifestyle change. I'm turning away from that, and I'm turning toward God. Yeah. Repent of your sins and turn toward God so that your sins may be wiped away. Happy Easter, everybody. Today's awesome. Welcome to church. You look like a good-looking group of people. Some of you are dressed so spiffy. Some of you, well, it's good to see you. Good to see you. I recognize this morning that this is for some of you your first time in church ever. I recognize for others this is your first time in church since last Easter. I know who you are. Some of you, this is your place. This is your home. This is your place of worship. This is your church, Fusion Christian Church. No matter what your situation and why you're here and what brought you here, you know, maybe your friend invited you, maybe your spouse finally begged you enough, you're like, fine, I'll go, and you showed up here. Maybe you were here for the free gift that the girls were talking about. You know, whatever reason, for some of you, this is your first time, you've been here for a long time. For some of you, this is your nap time. And you're just waiting for Easter lunch. Whatever the reason, I want to ask you this question. Why are you here? I want you to think about that for a second. Why are you here? Is it possible that you're not here by accident? It's not just some whim, last-minute decision, but is it possible that God wants you to be here? Is it possible that God wants to speak something into your heart, that he wants to speak something into your mind, into your life, and he wants to change you forever? I think so. I think everyone has a purpose, that God has a purpose for your life, and I think this is part of it. Today's part of it. And you're not here by accident. So we're going to celebrate Easter, and we're going to find out why we're here, because today is Easter. It's not the actual day Jesus rose from the dead, but it is the day that we as a church, we celebrate that event that Jesus rose from the dead, and because of that, we can have our sins forgiven, we can have a reason for living, and we can have a home in heaven. We can have purpose in our life. This is why we're celebrating this today, and why it's so important, and why it is one of the most attended Sundays of the year is Easter Sunday. I want you to attend more than that, not just because I want butts in the seats, but because I believe that we should be part of what God is building. Jesus died to build his church. So the question we should ask ourselves is, why wouldn't we want to be part of what Jesus Christ died to start, which is his church, his people? Now, I know that for many of you, you have heard of the Easter story. You maybe were told it as a little kid. You know a little bit about it. I would say a large group of you probably have never read the biblical account of the Easter story. What does the Bible actually say about the Easter story? And what does it mean for the resurrection? So what I'd like to do, since I have a captive audience and the ushers have all locked the doors, I'm going to spend the next couple minutes reading the Easter story for you. And I promise, I will use my best reading voice for you. It's going to take us about 2 minutes. You can survive for 2 minutes. And we're going to read the Easter story so that we're all going to get in the know. We're all going to hear what it says in the Bible about it. But before we do that, I want to give you a little background. Jesus was born, miraculous birth by the Virgin Mary, and he lived a sinless life, did amazing miracles, fulfilled over 300 prophecies about him, some written hundreds, some thousands of years before he was ever born. He was betrayed by one of his inner circle, one of his 12 disciples, by a guy named Judas. He was handed over to the religious leaders of that time and wrongfully accused and sentenced to death. He was handed over to the Roman soldiers who sentenced him to death and began to torture him to death. They pulled out his beard, they spit on him, they punched him, they abused him, they put a crown of thorns on his head, his face was profusely bleeding, and then they whipped him with this whip called the Cat of Nine Tails. On the end of it was all these jagged like nails and rocks and pieces of glass, and they whipped him until his flesh began to tear from his body. Then they put a wooden cross on him and made him carry it to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and there they nailed him to it. And rose the cross up while he was on it and left him there to die for hours and hours. And he said seven sayings from the cross, which we went over the past couple of months here at Fusion Christian Church. And then he died. He gave up his spirit, and then he died. And all of the people who loved him mourned, and all the people who hated him celebrated. And then they buried him in a tomb. And everybody thought it was over. All the people who had loved him for years and followed him for years and listened to his teaching thought it was over. And all the people who hated him were rejoiced. Jesus is finally dead. It's over. We don't have to deal with that guy anymore. But it wasn't over. He rose from the grave, according to the word of God. And we're going to read that account this morning in the scriptures. And what we're going to learn is not only was Jesus' story not over, but your story isn't over. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like your life is over. Maybe you feel like you've hit a dead end and you don't have any meaning or purpose. Or maybe you've just screwed it up so bad you don't know if there's any hope for you. Well, I want you to know this morning, this Easter Sunday, that your life isn't over. Do you know why? Because you're still alive. So let's read together the account of Jesus after his resurrection and what happened that day after he rose from the dead and the people who witnessed it. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. For what I have received, I have passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for the sins, our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles." There you have it, the account of Jesus' resurrection. And according to the ancient scriptures, according to the word of God, according to the hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses, according to the millions upon millions upon millions of changed lives since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is alive and well, risen indeed. And that's good news for you and I, because it means that our story isn't over. Your story isn't over. No matter where you are this morning, God's got a plan for you. I want to ask you this morning this question: what kind of life are you living? Can you just think about that for a minute? What kind of life are you living? Your story isn't over because you are still alive. Who's still living right now? Just checking. That's a sign. If you can raise your hand, you're still alive. If it's not raised, then maybe you're not. Somebody needs to elbow you. Your story isn't over because you still have time. You still have opportunity. You still have a chance to get to know God on a real, intimate, personal level. Some years ago, my family and I, we had a dog named Buttercup. It's a very manly name, Buttercup. Now, you would think when you hear the name Buttercup that you imagine a cute dog, don't you? You kind of think, that dog must be cute. It's named Buttercup. But Lord, was it ugly. Her big bulging eyes, like disproportioned to her head, like would stick out of her head, snaggle teeth going every which way, and she smelled like she was dead. Like every day, she smelled like she was dead. It's like when God made her, he had an ugly bucket next to him, and he kept dipping her in it. That's how bad. She's dead. She doesn't have feelings, okay, everybody? Don't, like, feel sad for the dog. I'm talking bad about, can't believe that pastor talking bad about that dog. Well, she got old, and she, you know, we had to put her down. She had sniffed all the sniffing she could sniff, and then she died. Her story is over. But your story's not. I believe for some of you, your story is going to just start because you're going to come to know Jesus Christ in a very real and a very intimate way today. And so as we think about that, what kind of life you're living, what if I told you you actually have two lives? You have two lives, one mortal and one immortal. And your mortal life affects and determines your immortal life. And the choices you make for your immortal life affect your mortal life. This means that you're living for eternity right now. It means that the choices you make for your life matter for eternity. Now, in this life, in your mortal life, you can actually make one of two choices. Choice one, you can live your life rejecting Jesus. Lots of people do that. And you can choose that. You can pretend like Jesus really doesn't exist. You can pretend like it doesn't matter. You can refuse his forgiveness. You can refuse his reason for living. You can refuse the eternity in heaven that he promises those people who come to him. You can choose to reject Jesus all day long and say, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to live my own life, make up my own rules, and I'm going to be my own God and make my own plans. You can do that all day long. If that's the choice that you make, I have some very sad and very sobering and what should be some very terrifying news for you, it's called bad news. And I want to give you the bad news before I give you the good news. You ready? If you choose that, to reject Jesus in your mortal life is to choose death in your immortal life. To reject him in your mortal life, the life you're living now, is to choose death in your immortal one, the one that comes after this. Because as we know, the death rate hovers right around 100%. Some of you are doing the math right now. Okay? Right around 100%. Now, here's the interesting thing that the Bible teaches us, that we all are owed a wage. Who here works for a living? Okay? If no one's raising their hand next to you, help them get a job after service. Now, we all have a wage from this thing in our life called sin. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Everyone say death. Death. No one likes death. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. We don't like it when it happens in our friends and family. It's painful. Death is not fun. It's not enjoyable at any level. The wage that we have coming to us because of our sin, our rebellion against God, is death. Not only physical death in this life, but a spiritual death in the life to come. Jesus called it the second death, and the second death, it happens in a place called hell, a real place where people who reject Jesus go after death. I want to be very clear. So when we choose to reject Jesus, that's what's coming to us. Now, the good news is, which we're all excited about, is that you also have another choice. The second choice you can make is you can live your life accepting Jesus. And I can believe in him and faith in him and his death, burial, and resurrection, and I can accept his plan for my life, his will for my life, the word of God over my life, and the eternity that he has promised for me. And if you choose that this morning, And that's your choice, and I hope you make that choice. I hope everybody on the planet makes that choice. Then to accept Jesus in your mortal life is to choose, in your mortal life, is to choose life in your immortal life. When we accept Jesus in our mortal life, is to choose life in our immortal one. In other words, we have this promise that comes from Jesus that says, man, I've got more coming to me than just death after this. And the fact the Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you glad he didn't stop there? For the wages of sin is death. Done. But he didn't stop there. He actually kept going. He says, listen, but I want you to know there's an alternative to this death. And it's the free gift of God, which comes by way of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. I think everybody, you don't even have to be a Christian to want that. You don't even have to know all the things of Christianity to want that. Everybody in their right mind wants that. And that's offered to us when we come to know Jesus Christ. So which life are you living? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter Sunday, gives us this chance, this opportunity to depict the right kind of life, the kind of life that God would want us to live. Jesus kind of likened it to walking one of two different roads. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter through the narrow gate. Now, Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life, he said, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Many people do. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Do you know why the road is narrow? Because there's only one way. And that way is Jesus Christ. That way is faith in Jesus Christ. Not your way, not your plan, not your purpose, but only Jesus. Because only Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. Only Jesus rose from the grave so that you can have new life in him. Only through Jesus. That's why he's the narrow way. That's why it's a narrow road. And few find it because so many people choose to rebel against it. I don't want that to be you today. This Easter Sunday, I want you to get up on the right road. How do we get on the wrong road? How do we kind of get distracted from God? I mean, some of you, you know, I'm guessing some of you used to go to church a lot. Some of you that are here, church was part of your life, but if something happened in life, you got distracted, you got busy, you started doing your own thing, your own career, your own success, whatever it is in your life, you got distracted. For some of you, you just got into the wrong crowd, you got into the wrong lifestyle, you got in the wrong stuff, and you know in your heart that you've been on the wrong road. The way we get on the wrong road is this. You end up on the wrong road when you start looking for life among dead things. You start looking for life among dead things. Dead things are all the stuff that we try to fill our life with that is not Jesus Christ. The Bible calls those dead things, things that don't actually produce eternal life. Have you ever planned a family day? Who here has ever planned a family day? Just raise your hand. Good. I don't do much of the planning in my family. I've delegated that responsibility to my wife. And maybe I shouldn't have, because her uncle, who's now passed away, still in the family, owns a mortuary. And next to the mortuary is a house. And they lived in it. And so they would have family events at this house right next to the mortuary. And then as they would have the family event, the mortuary would close, and in the evening, all the kids would go over to the mortuary and play hide and go seek in the dark among the dead things. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Full disclosure, I didn't know this until after I married her. I mean, who sends their kids over to the mortuary? Go play among the dead things. Go ahead, kids, just come back later. I mean, crazy. Who plans a family day and says, hey, we should go to Disneyland? And, you know, the dad's like, no, I think we should go to the cemetery. That would be fun. Who does that? No one does. But the problem is we do this with our life all the time. We try to find life among dead things. We try to find life in our career. We try to find life in sex. We try to find life in our addictions, the things that we have. We try to find life in the pride and the achievements of our life and the things that we think will satisfy. But what we find is we're actually on the wrong road. And we try to find life among dead things, and it becomes a problem. That's why the angel said to the ladies going to the tomb, they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life among dead things when there's only life in Jesus Christ? There's only life in him. He's the only one that actually can give it to us." And we get on that road. We say, how do I get on the right road? If I'm on the wrong road, if you find yourself on the wrong road this morning, you're like, "Man, I've really been walking away from God. I've really kind of put God on the back burner. I've kind of had nothing to do with God." Maybe you find yourself in that place today. Maybe you feel so guilty and so ashamed of the things that you've done. You're like, how's God even going to accept me? Jesus told this great story in the Bible about a guy named the prodigal son. He's called the prodigal son. And he was a brat. He's kind of a little bratty kid. Probably played too much Xbox or PS2. Glued to his iPad all the time. So he went one day and he went to his dad and he said, "Listen, Dad, I want all my money." Like the dad owed him money. "I want all my money. I'm gonna leave here. I'm out of here. Peace." So the dad gives him money for some reason. And he goes off and the Bible says he spends all of his money on wild living, prostitutes, drugs, alcohol, marijuana, all these things. He's like living up his life on all these things. And he squanders all of his wealth on selfish living to where he lives so desperately, he gets to this point where the Bible says he's literally living among the pigs. That sounds fun. He's living among the pigs and he's starving to death and he wants to eat the pig food. He found himself on the wrong road and all of a sudden he comes to his senses and he says, "What am I doing here? I need to go back to the Father. I need to go back to my Father. If I go back there and repent," he goes, "maybe he'll accept me and I'll just be a servant in the house." So he gets up barefoot and all smelling like pigs and everything and he starts walking back to the Father. And the Bible says that while he was still a long way off, the Father saw him. While he was still a long way off, the Father saw his son coming. Covered in pig feces, covered in smell, covered in his poor choices, and the father ran to him. And the son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And the father forgave him and wrapped him in new clothes, put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. He said, "Let's celebrate because my son was once dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found." And that's the hope that we all have when we come to our senses. I've been on the wrong road. I've been heading the wrong way. I've been doing things in my life without God. How do I get back on the right road? I'm going to give you the number one thing that you need to do this morning. The number one thing that you always need to do when you are on the wrong road. Are you ready for it? You have to repent of your sins and turn to God. You have to repent of your sins and turn to God. That repentance is key when we come to the Lord and we say, "I was wrong." The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away." That's the beautiful thing. That's why we sang, "Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied." Because of the shedding of Jesus' blood, the sacrifice, the righteous for the unrighteous. Because his blood was shed on the cross, when we come to him in faith, the Bible says that he washes us clean and he cleanses us from all the unrighteous things we've done in our life. And he puts us on the right road. And that all starts with repentance. To repent means to turn away. I was once going this way and now I'm turning this way. Now, how many of you know that when you turn away from one thing, you turn toward another? You know that? Give me a churchy head nod like you know what I'm talking about. You've all done this in your life, okay? Don't you turn your back on me. You all have done it. And when I turn away from sin and I no longer live that way, now I'm turning toward God. That's what it means to repent. It's not just "oh, I'm sorry, God." It's not just "oh, sorry, God, screwed that one up. I'll try better next time. No, it's actual lifestyle change. I'm turning away from that and I'm turning toward God. Yeah. Repent of your sins and turn toward God so that your sins may be wiped away. And when you do that, your sins will be forgiven. You're living two lives right now. You're living your mortal one and your immortal one, and they're inseparable, and one affects the other. One's leading to eternal death, and one's leading to eternal life. Which road are you on? I hope the one that leads toward eternal life, which only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Your story isn't over. God has a plan for your life. And his plan first, his first plan for every life is that you would repent and come to God. That's the first plan he has for everyone. And this morning, as we think about that, I want you to think about what the angels told the women coming to the grave. He said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen." Have you been looking for life among dead things? Have you been looking for life without Jesus Christ, without God? Has God just been on the back burner for you, more like a hobby than actually Savior and Lord? This morning, I want us to have the opportunity where we come and we actually get on the right road. Get on the right road. Church, it's not that hard. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It starts with just coming to him and saying, "Gosh, God, I've been wrong. And I need your forgiveness." Most famous verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world, so loved you, that he sent his one and only Son. And whoever would believe in him," anyone who would believe in him, "would not perish, but have everlasting life." It's time to be done with your doubt. It's time to be done with your rebellion. It's time to be done with putting God on the back burner and pretending and living like he doesn't exist. It's time to get on the right road. It's time for your story to start new, fresh and new today. And that only happens through Jesus Christ.